In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of Saints Joachim and Anna. And if you know anything about them, you know that they were a couple that was childless into their old age. And at that time, being childless was something that was looked upon as a curse from God. And so people questioned whether they were really living a righteous life, even though they were an extremely pious couple. But of course, by their prayers, they were eventually blessed to be the parents of the Theotokos, the Virgin Mary. Anna is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Hannah. Saint Anna's namesake suffered a very similar difficulty or burden during her life. She was barren up to a certain point in her life. And you read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, or 1 Kingdoms if you're reading in the Orthodox Study Bible. And it begins, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there." So the setting of this story is that this is after Moses has brought the Israelites into the land, but this is before the time of the kings. And at this time, the Israelites didn't occupy the city of Jerusalem, and they didn't have a temple. They had the tabernacle, which was a tent structure where the ark was kept, and that's where the people went to worship. And at this time, it was in the city of Shiloh, which would be in the modern West Bank, just a little bit south of the city of Nablus on the West Bank. We're not told why in the story that Elkanah had married a second time, but the most likely cause of this would be because his first wife, Hannah, didn't have any children. In those days, if you were a farmer, not having children meant that there was no security for you in your old age. It was a real disaster for a family not to have children. And so probably he decided to take a second wife for that reason. And this wife bore him several sons and some daughters. Now, one thing I should point out is that polygamy, you encounter this in the Old Testament. And sometimes in recent years, when we've been talking about the question of gay marriage, the issue of polygamy has been brought up. And people have said, well, see, marriage really hasn't remained constant. This idea of one man for one woman is a relatively recent thing. And so gay marriage is just one new step in the chain of evolution. Well, for one thing, when a man was engaging in polygamy, he didn't marry two women at the same time and have one marriage. He had a marriage with each of those women. He just had multiple marriages. Now, this is never presented in Scripture as a good thing. You will never find a single example, even of holy men like the patriarch Abraham or in this case Elkanah, where they had more than one wife and there was a happy, peaceful environment in that home. As a matter of fact, I studied Chinese calligraphy. That's how I met my wife. And character for woman, it combined with a roof over her head, is the character that means peace. But the character for strife is two women under one roof. And so you see that vividly lived out in this case here, because you had one wife, the first wife, the one that Elkanah really loved, barren, and this other wife who had many children. And it says, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a prime portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." And when it talks about he gave them a portion at the time of sacrifice, people in those days didn't have refrigeration, and so they didn't eat meat on a regular basis. But when they did, on great occasions, like on this occasion when he would go up to Shiloh and sacrifice, some of the certain parts of the animal were burned up as part of the sacrifice. A certain portion went to the priest to feed the priest and the Levites. But then a large part of that animal was given back to the family, and they would cook it and they would eat it. It was a very happy occasion for a family. And so what it's saying is that he gave everybody in his family a portion, but he gave Hannah the very best portion, the top cut of the animal that was sacrificed. And it says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as she did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?'" And he wasn't being sarcastic. He was saying, "Look, I love you deeply, and the fact that you don't have children doesn't make me love you any less." And he's very concerned that she's upset. But nevertheless, this is a difficulty in Hannah's life. She has a husband that loves her. She, compared to the people of that time, was living a pretty nice life. She didn't lack for anything materially compared to those that were around her. So the only reason why she wasn't happy was that she didn't have children, but it's not as if she wanted to have a child to please her husband, because her husband was already happy with her. She wanted to be fruitful. She wanted to have something that she did in her life that would be a gift that she could give back to God. She wasn't content just with receiving all the things that her husband gave her. She wanted to have something that she could give, something that would be there after she was gone. Also, the other wife, Peninnah, was intent on making him miserable, and to some extent you'd have to say that she succeeded. But rather than responding the way we would be tempted to, which would be to be nasty right back and to have a fight, how did she respond? She allowed this to drive her to fast and to pray and to pour out her heart to God. It says that, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.'" Note that it doesn't say that she bargained with God and said, "God, if you'll give me 3 children, I'll give you 1. Or if you give me 2 children, I'll give you 1. She simply said, "God, if you give me 1 child, I'll give you that 1 child back." And when she said that all the days of his life, no razor would come upon his head, what she was saying was he was going to be a Nazarite. In the Old Testament, a Nazarite was someone who was specially dedicated to God. And some people became Nazarites just for a short period of time, but other people became Nazarites all their life, and so they didn't cut their hair. That's, by the way, the reason why the Orthodox custom is for clergy and monastics to not cut their hair. But also note that when she was praying, she didn't say, "God, punish this evil woman who's made my life miserable." Her focus was simply on, "God, give me this child because I want to give him back to you." Many of us at different times of our life, and maybe some of us even now, have had people in our lives that seem to be intent on making us miserable with every opportunity that they have. And it seems like it's a great trial to go through that. But there's different ways that we can respond. One way would be to get right back at them and to try to make them miserable, to have some kind of vengeance, and in our prayers to ask God to strike them dead or something like that. But Hannah instead responded in such a way as to where she allowed this to be for her salvation. She allowed it to drive her to prayer. And so no one can really harm you unless you allow them to harm you, St. John Chrysostom says. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. So here she is, she's in what we would say would be the equivalent of going to church. She's praying, she's in the bitterness of soul, she's pouring her heart out to God, and then the priest sees this and he misjudges the situation and thinks that she's drunk. And it says that he said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." A daughter of Belial, as I've mentioned before, means the same thing as what a son of Belial means, which means a son of a worthless person. It's a Hebrew idiom that means basically a bum or somebody who is a bad person. She again could have responded in anger. How dare you? You know, I'm in the temple or in the tabernacle. I'm praying to God. And how dare you accuse me of that? And gotten very angry. But instead, she responded with humility and simply told the truth. It says that then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. St. John Chrysostom points out that through her humility, she turned an accuser into an intercessor. Because she responded humbly, the person that at first had thought that she was engaging in bad behavior in the temple or the tabernacle and needed correction is now praying for her to get what it is that she's asking of God. And even after he says that, she again shows her humility by saying, "Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight." So she remains humble throughout. And it says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I've asked him of the Lord.'" The name Samuel means God heard. So that's what she named her son, God heard. He heard my prayer. And the name could also mean one who hears God, which would be prophetically true in Samuel's case because he became one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. St. John Chrysostom points out that she was acting herself, even though the priest was offering the bullock that she offered to God, she was herself acting as a priest in her very being. And she was also imitating the patriarch Abraham and rivaling him for preeminence. He preached 5 homilies on Hannah, and he marveled at the faith of this woman and over again repeated what a fine example she was of not only to women, but to men as well. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood before thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord." And he, referring to Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. Again, she could have shown up and said, "Remember me? I'm the one that you thought was a drunk. Well, God answered my prayer." You know, she could have been arrogant and said, "You know, I showed you because God answered my prayer." But instead, she again just honors God and lets Eli know that both his prayer and her prayer was answered. And the story about Hannah ends, although the story about Samuel is just beginning and goes on through the rest of 1 Samuel. His mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. So every year she would make him a new outfit, and she would bring it up when she went with her family to worship at Shiloh, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. One thing we get from this story is just God's providence. Because it was God's providence that she be barren as long as she was, and that she endure that so that she could be driven to the point that she would pray and that she would make this offering to God. And even it was providential that she had this rival that made her so miserable that it inspired her to pray and to fast and to ask for God to grant this thing. Hannah wanted to bear fruit. And what fruit did she bear? Well, if you read about the prophet Samuel, He was the last of the judges who ruled Israel before the time of the kings. He anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David, and also he became the first of the prophets in the sense that we normally think of them as, like the prophet Elijah or the other prophets that would go and speak truth to the king and also tell the people of Israel when they were sinning what they needed to do and also warn them about God's wrath. And so he was truly a great man. So by responding to cruelty with humility, prayer, and fasting, she gave birth to Samuel. And by offering him to God, she became not only the mother of a son, but she became the mother of one of the greatest of the prophets. Amen.